closer.
You are listening to Two Magicians, One Mic.
Hey everybody, welcome to Two Magicians, One Mic. My name is Nick Paul. I'm here with Lady Sarah and Keith Fields. You notice how I put Lady Sarah first?
Yeah, I think Does that offend you? Most impressive. Yeah. That is our official billing now, so it's Lady Sarah and Keith Fields.
We were talking about that last week. How much has that changed the market for you, or how much has that changed things for you, putting Sarah, I mean, she's kind of new, your lovely wife, into the show. She's here right now as if I'm not talking, if I'm talking about her as if she wasn't here.
She hasn't really been quiet for this long ever before, so.
I'm so quiet. I'm just like a little tiny mouse. You'd never know I was here.
She's holding a kitty cat right now.
Oh, so he's wearing a gorgeous mutton.
Yeah, here's the sort of brief progression from when Sarah came into the act. It started off, I mean, I use the Magic Castle as an example. I did the Magic Castle shortly before without Sarah. And everyone was coming up to me going, oh, we haven't seen you before. That was fantastic. I think it was only my first or second time. So I was a new guy there. And everyone was loving the show and doing really well. And then the next time I did it with Sarah, and everyone went, yeah, we loved your show. They'd immediately turn to Sarah and go, but you were fantastic. And it was kind of a weird, like my ego was a bit bruised, I suppose. Mm-hmm. But I suddenly realized that actually together we were much more and much better than I was by myself.
And what was that, a couple of years ago?
Two and a half years ago
when it really
started. I don't know if you were better by yourself, darling. You were different with
yeah,
me.
Yeah, but, well, no, the impact, the collective impact we have on the audience is so much greater than the impact I have by my. I don't know what it is, but I just know
there's an energy watching the two of you together. You can. It's definitely way more fun to have somebody on stage with you too. So I'm sure after you've doing this for so long, there's
Funny is there's one particular routine where we've got five people on stage plus us two.
Wow, Mike,
and that's a lot of energy. That's a lot of noise. It's a lot of back and forth.
We like a busy stage.
The stage isn't big enough.
Yeah.
We need a bigger one. Yeah. But it's been a huge change. It's been a change on our marriage. It's been a change on our family life. The kids would say that we talk about
business
shows all the time as opposed to just a little bit of the time.
We're desperately trying to work on actually getting some of that out of our lives because it's just been 100% of our focus for the last sort of
It is years. Weird, yeah. It was weird when I put Kristen in the show. I mean, the little bits that we do together, certainly not, you guys are like 50-50 where she's kind of doing stuff behind the scenes more. But yeah, that was kind of a weird concern I had before putting her in the show of like, how's this going to affect us off stage? Because you hear horror stories. You hear people, like, hating each other.
Well, you know what? I think, without sounding terribly gushing, what's more important is the marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. And we said that right from the get-go. And we had this funny discussion about us how we got to actually get to this section of our lives was that the kids were leaving. They were going to college. Oliver, we've got a third one in England, already done. Oliver off to college, Felicity just going to college, and Keith said to me, what are we going to do now?
We were I could see empty nester approaching.
Sure.
And I could see the attention that, as parents, we had on two children had gone down to one child, and I could see one child going, and all the attention that was floating around the house was now going to come on me. So I was really preempting.
A lot of nagging, weren't you, darling?
I was really preempting things, and I said to Sarah, you know, we've got to have a plan as to what happens when the kids finally go. So Sarah went off and did some research.
I did, and I really, really wanted to work with orangutans in Borneo, Nick, and that's what I wanted to do.
This was a weird, out there sort of thing. You know, it was just like, that's what she decided.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, then, because giving back is important, as far as we're concerned.
But we were looking for something. It was a kind of a conversation. We want to find something we can do, something different, something new. But we did the research on the orangutans in Borneo, and basically, you're not allowed to have any contact. If you want to do it properly, you shouldn't have any contact with the animals.
Couldn't cuddle the monkeys.
And that's what she really wanted to do.
Can you believe that?
It's basically, if you're going to do it, it's about providing habitat for the animals. So it's actually a lot of physical work, which wasn't... Basically, that idea fell by the wayside.
So Keith said, what are you going to do then? Keep thinking. So I thought, actually, what Mother Teresa did in Calcutta with the children on the street was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
And the charity is still going and the nuns are still working. And I said, babe, let's go to India. Let's work with those kids on the street.
Because apparently you can just go and volunteer and help.
Wow.
Which Exactly. Wow. Absolutely fantastic. But I sort of looked into that and the actual, you know, the situation out there.
It was the food, wasn't it, darling? You couldn't have handled it.
It was that. It was the heat. It was...
It's a tricky situation.
And there's a lot of dealing with a lot of sick people. And I, in all honesty, working with sick children was something that I really felt I just couldn't do. So
it's really like my wife and I just finished up volunteering on and off at the animal shelter for about 2.5 years. And it's one of those things. Okay. You want to give back, you want to do it. And then you're in it. And half the time it's great. And the other half, it's so emotionally exhausting and depressing because you see, you know.
And that was a step too far. The tough part. That was a step too far for me. So Sarah went back and...
So Felicity then went off to U of M and I said, I've got it, darling. I know what I want to do.
And I said, what do you want to do?
And I said, I want to perform with you.
And I said, what about these sick children? that was the last thing.
You know, I can get over the food. That's okay. The heat's not an issue.
It was the last thing I expected. But that was literally pretty much how, over that period, as Felicity was leaving for college, that was how it came about.
But to go back to your point, how did it affect us? We always said, because Keith then wrote a new show. He wrote a school show, educational show, to see if we could do it.
And it turned out to be such fun. I mean, I never knew that actually going to work with my wife would be fun. Until that, we'd never done it before.
But we always said that the marriage was more important.
Oh, absolutely.
And if it didn't work. And I've always run the businesses and I've had a business back in the UK. So the business side was what I do. But the performing took on a whole new lease of life.
And it's been a very steep learning curve, I think it's fair to say, isn't it? There's a lot of... I mean, I've been doing this for 35 years, so probably nearer 40 years now. All the stuff that as a professional performer, I don't even think about, I just do. I can't assume Sarah's going to think about
it. Sure,
she's coming at it from a different angle. So the steep learning
Your
curve...
Your comedy timing
is
quite phenomenal.
Well, it's what I
Your
do.
Your improvisation.
Yeah.
I think you both have a very strong... comedy show. I'm sure more like I've experienced that too, where it's like the audience is reacting this way or something happens and you have to just adjust in real time. And I'll look at Chris and go, why wasn't your instinct the same as mine? I'm like, oh yeah, because I'm 18 years. I've been doing this 18 years longer than you. She's a performer. She has theater training, but that's different than solo performance and being a magician on stage. It's a whole different ballgame.
Oh yeah. And as a solo performer, I'm thinking sometimes 3 or 4 stages ahead.
Exactly.
And I'm going to do this, then I'm going to do this, then I'm going to do that. As a double act, if you think 3 or 4 stages ahead and you're in improvisational mode, I'm going to do this, Sarah will do that. I'm going to do this, but I can't communicate that to Sarah.
Exactly.
So basically, you do what you've got to do, and then we go with it. You
know? It's a difficult one. It's a really difficult one, but at the same time, we've sort of made it work.
It's a fun one, isn't it? Though it's as long as you
we've come across some obstacles. Come on! There was a down moment.
There was.
There was a time where one of us might have shed a tear. You're thinking about it now. So we started this club. And,
this isn't actually a podcast. This is actually relationship therapy.
I'm going to tell you about this moment.
Your daughter hired me. Yeah.
Anyway, Keith said, we're going to do a silent bit. Have you ever done silent? Oh, you have done silent, haven't you?
I have. I do a whole silent show.
You do a whole silent show, yes. Well,
we
silent.
Were experimenting with a silent bit. You tell the story.
So he'd got the routines. He'd got the music.
I'd worked out exactly what I wanted us to do in this silent routine.
It was perfect. And then we went to rehearse. Yeah. And what we found was, I have no jolly timing whatsoever. Keith wants me to walk on the beat up a ladder. I couldn't work out the
no
beat.
No music timing.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's just that, she can't clap along to it and get the rhythm of the music. And it was the music was the nutcracker.
Yeah.
Do, 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 do. And I wanted to be, it was to literally carry on the ladder. And when it came to the do, do bit, all I wanted to do was hold the ladder and look to the audience and look to me. And it was kind of that moment, she would walk on stage and every time it goes to do, 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 look to the audience, look to me. And then repeat the same thing, look to the audience, look to me. Couldn't do that, look to the audience and look to me on the beat. And then I realised she couldn't even walk on the beat. And it was kind of like, interesting.
Yeah, so, we got my days stressed. Of being a jazz dancer are out the window. Can you believe that? I am not going to be the dancer I...
It was going to India and then going to be a full-time jazz dancer.
I can't believe that the Royal ballet company doesn't want me.
No, I can't believe they don't want me. Not, obviously not for dancing, but...
You need a coat lady.
That's right. I'm really good at taking coats. Yes, tremendous.
I think that's one thing when you're working together, expectations, you know, you have to... you have to work with each other,
mm-hmm.
Because there will be some things that I probably can't do as well.
Yeah.
I haven't come across really? This yet, but I'm
let
sure
me give
are.
You a list later, shall I?
She pulls out of her back.
It just happens carry to be it with already you all
a list in triplicate, darling. I might email it.
How did the Magic Soiree come on? This is a monthly show you guys do here in Metro Detroit,
yep.
And there's nothing really like it here. I was talking with Jason Magic yesterday, and he has a kind of a quarterly show, if yeah. you will, but it's not as consistent. Mm. It's kind of hard to have something regular going in Detroit because people don't go see stuff. It's not really like a big artistic town. So what was the obstacle there? And because it seems like it's been very successful and lots of tickets sold.
I have to say it is becoming an artistic town. I mean, obviously downtown Detroit, you've got... Mm-hmm.
It's really coming back. Yeah.
It's absolutely coming back. Culturally,
it's definitely a happening city. There's a big music thing here.
Oh, yeah, that's always kind of been here, which is great.
Yeah.
I suppose what came out... We've always wanted to run a club. We ran a comedy club many, many years ago in London. When I say we... That was Keith. I was in the background.
You were there.
And we love it. We love what we can give back again with the other performers as well.
We've been looking on and off for something we could do around here since we've been here. We were talking about Go Comedy, where you did the show a couple of weeks ago, and we did a show there last Christmas as well, and you did the Christmas before, I think, mm-hmm. or however it worked.
I think that's, yeah.
And we actually spoke to them because they'd only just opened when we first got here, but they were going in a different direction at the time. And we've spoken to many venues over the years, haven't we? Just not really found a place which kind of felt right.
Sure.
Well, they had major restrictions, as many of these venues do, about bringing in public and stages and lights and sound.
Yeah.
So we found Camp Ticonderoga, who were very happy to... Yeah. Do whatever we really needed. We bring the stage and lights in, which is a pain in the neck because they don't have that sort of stuff there. Elevator. but we've had such a giggle with some of the local magicians, with some of the guys from away, and who've come in to do it for us. Eventbrite and all those ticket systems are not too hard to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
They've got issues. Advertising, we've learned about.
Yeah,
along the
way.
We've
been playing around a lot with Facebook videos, and if you want to, anyone listening wants to go on to see the Lady Sarah's, no, it's the
Magic Soiree.
The Magic Soiree. or the Facebook page, you can see lots of our little silly video clips which we do to market and advertise the show, which we kind of enjoy doing those, don't we?
We do. It's a giggle.
You guys just did one for the Humane Society too, and that seemed like it was very successful.
Yeah,
we'll
that
do
was
corporates.
A, well, yeah, we're finding, since having the soiree, and this is why I encourage anyone to put on a show. There are, you know, you will, apart from the fact that you are further in the art of magic in your local area, you know, you become known in the local area. And it was as a result of putting on the soiree that they came to us, this Humane Society, and said, can we do a magic soiree for our fundraiser? They're not the first and they won't be the last. They've done that.
We've tripled their fundraising for the year.
Oh, wow.
So that was good.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing there again is it's not just putting on a show. It's not the show. You guys are major performers. You know what the show bit about is all about.
That's
but it's everything
the
else.
The show is the easy part.
Yeah,
it's the ticket selling is the massive aspect. The advertising, just the logistics of setting it all up.
It's only like 65 tickets a month, which doesn't sound like a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And in one sense, it isn't a lot, but you know, you actually have to keep on it all the time to keep it going, to keep it out there. And we have, because it's Michigan, we have to stop in the summer because in the summer people don't do anything indoors in Michigan. I don't know.
Yeah, that's very true. I always forget about that because everybody's so eager to. When I lived in Florida, you know, it'd be like 60 degrees out, and we had Michigan friends come down. like, you guys want to eat outside? I'm like, yeah. No, it's 60 degrees. Yeah. So yeah, there's this need to go outside because everybody's so
and stuck even indoors. There's a couple of big comedy clubs in the area. The Comedy Castle probably seats 400 odd people, and there's another one just north. I can't remember what it's called now. The new one. Got out of my head, and they seat 300 people, but they're usually through the winter months they're sold out, and these are big name comics sometimes, and sometimes me, so not always big name comics. But in the summertime they drop down, and I did one of them, and they drop down to about 50 or 60 people in the summer. So wintertime 300 people, summertime 60 people. A big established comedy club can't pull the crowd in the summer.
Jeez.
So we figure, you know, once a month.
And we've tried a few family soirees, Easter and Halloween, where you can bring your families. Otherwise the soiree is 14 plus, so it's adults.
Yeah,
I think it's important too, just to establish for magic too, because people, so many, especially in suburbia, hear magic and go, "Oh, that's a kid's show."
Yeah.
So the second you establish, no, it's not for kids,
says
you can sell the ticket prices higher, but also makes it a completely different show.
And magic's so sexy at the moment; everybody loves it.
Mm. Yeah, we're in a weird renaissance. Yeah, because of Fool Us and because of the diversity out there.
America's Got Talent, Britain's Got Talent. Again, have done great things. Possibly not for the individual performers, but. For magic in general.
You signed the contract.
And Simon Cowell is now very wealthy.
Don't say that.
Well, he was. That's when then he came back to the show because he clearly needed some money.
Yeah.
but it's a good time for magic.
It's a great time for magic.
We're kind of in like what the 80s were for stand-up comedy. You know, and you're kind of, and me in the back of my head, I'm like, okay, when's the bubble burst?
I'll tell you a story. Something happened at the soiree. We'd been open for probably 2 or 3 months and we were having a meeting over there with the manager of the place. And he goes, "Oh, we've got a new member of wait staff, which is going to be working on Saturday for you. Let me introduce you to her." And she came up and her first words were, "I can't wait to work at the magic soiree. I absolutely love magic." Now, I honestly don't think I would have heard that from anyone even 10 years ago. It's not the sort of thing that people would say and feel happy to say. You know?
Yeah, most people are like, I don't understand.
They might mutter it. She was a magic lover.
She was a total really magic lover. You were right, though, about the bubble of the 80s and comedy, and that was a huge time for comedy. And you were in the UK. We were in the UK.
That's
when
I was working comedy clubs in the UK.
Because magic was wasn't fantastic. Even... a thing then.
No.
I
was one
now,
of, I think, 2 or 3 magicians working on the circuit in London, and it was just literally that.
What brought you guys to Troy, Michigan?
I think it was a 747, wasn't it?
Big airplane. Everybody says, what
you
brings
come
you
over
to
in the Mayflower?
Yeah, right. What a ridiculous thing. It's a bit like accents. They say, that's a lovely accent. How long have you had it? Well, all my life.
Yeah.
That's an accent that I was born with. Anyway, sorry.
It's really funny, actually. All my life, I didn't have an accent. I moved to America and
suddenly
got
I got an accent.
Well, there's a few magicians I could name that are currently doing that.
Yeah.
it is astounding how terrible... Yes. Yeah. Anyway, right. So why did we come?
Why Michigan?
Came because we could, sweetie. It was one of those mad ideas. You get to a stage in life, when you're as mature as us, you get to a stage when you think, what the heck? And we had some very tolerant children who were up for a change, and some.
How old were your kids?
12 and 14.
Wow, that's a big time.
Right.
Yeah.
Although, as I say, Matthew was a lot older.
Yeah, we left one at home because we don't love him as much as we love the other two. He was married and at the time, so we.
Okay, I was going to. You just didn't. Okay, you can.
You can fend for yourself.
Yeah,
yes.
You're off. But the other people who were very tolerant were our parents, who were saying, "Okay, you're taking our grandchildren, but you know what? If this is what you want to do, go for it." And they were very understanding.
Most people were actually a lot of people were a lot. Some people sat us down and said, "What on earth do you think you're doing?" Not only the fact that we were giving up an established career in the UK and, you know, schools and everything, friends,
lifestyle,
but also at the time they knew we were moving to Detroit. And Detroit in 2009 didn't have the best reputation. And literally, it was kind of we got a lot of interesting comments from people.
We did. And it was an interesting time for us as a couple, as a family, learning another culture. Yes, we speak the same language, but it is slightly
different. Kind of?
There's a few little
still
anomalies.
Very different, yeah.
Aluminium.
Is it schedule or schedule?
I don't know anymore. I've lost the will on that.
So, but also there was a different financial system. There was a different school system. Everything yeah. was different, and it was a great time for growth and learning. It was also a time of thinking, blimey, what are we doing?
But the bottom line was we had the opportunity, and we thought to ourselves, if we don't take this opportunity, in 10 years' time, we'll look back on this mm-hmm. day and go, we had the chance to do something and we did nothing.
Also, you as a creative needed something new and different.
I needed
You'd
a challenge.
You'd done the comedy. You needed yeah. something different. My business could have run in the UK or the US, so that was fine. Yeah. I think that was very true.
Actually, at the time, it was. I think my need at the time was a new challenge, and that was definitely one of the driving forces. And coming out here, I suddenly realised that I hadn't thought it through. And didn't know what to do when I got... It took us yeah. so much work actually tying up all the loose ends at the other end. We hadn't really yeah. worked out what to do here. So
same thing
here.
Happened for us too. We were just kind of done working for Disney, and we both... I was offered another contract. Kristen was offered, full-time performer. Mm. And we both were like, no, we're going to go to LA, and you spend all that time tying up the loose ends and you get to LA or get to wherever you're going. Yeah. Like, oh, no, nothing. What did I do?
What am I doing now?
But it's interesting, actually, because people don't realize quite how big, I know this is a real cliche, but how big America is. And so for you to leave yeah. Michigan to go to LA, yeah. in some ways, was similar from us going from London.
Oh, sure, yeah. I mean, England itself isn't huge. How long is it to go from the bottom to the top? What's that?
Well, it's the same size. Probably, Great Britain is the same size as Michigan as a state.
Yeah. yeah.
So you can work that out. Go Google it, people. It's a whole different ball game. It was good for us creatively. It was good for us as a
yeah, child. And it really was because I had to start again. And actually, one of the funniest things was I came over here with nothing, so I ended up doing what I did in the UK 40 odd years ago. I became a street entertainer.
Interesting.
And I went to Frankenmuth. You've inevitably won.
Yeah.
And I just went to the local Chamber of Commerce and said, is it okay if I go and do some street shows out there? And they said, yeah, absolutely. And
do we have to pay you?
And the funny thing is now they actually have a street entertainer program. They run through the summer on one night a week where they actually invite lots of street entertainers there.
Oh, cool.
So from me just turning up and going, I want to do it, they've now got a whole program running.
And you take 10%.
I wish I'd thought that through, but no, it's just
that. We didn't get that far.
But I rediscovered a joy in performing through doing those street shows in Frankenmuth, which I'd kind of lost pretty much.
Oh, really?
And it really started the ball rolling for being over here and taught me how to reach an American audience and all the rest of it. Mm-hmm. So there are differences between Americans and Brits.
I'm going to do British audiences tomorrow, and I'm terrified.
Yeah. They're,
don't say fanny pack.
Yes. Say bum bag. They will know what you're talking about. Believe it or not, that's what we call a fanny pack.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just an educational tip for you. There's a lot of that.
I mean, I have so many British friends now that I feel like it's none of it really shocks me. Yeah. But if you're not around it, there's quite a bit of differences, I'm sure. Yeah.
I think the British style is a lot more aggressive than American style in general in terms of comic. It's much more in your face and stuff like that. So I still find occasionally I will deliver a line on stage over here, which I think is quite an innocuous line if someone in the audience is reacting in a particular way. I mean, I remember a few months ago someone was chatting in the audience and I just looked down at them and said, oh, I'm sorry, how rude of me to talk while you are. And it was kind of the sort of thing I would say as that would be a very gentle startup line.
Yeah, that's nothing.
Back home. But these people looked at me as if I'd been mortally offended.
Wow.
And it was kind of amazing. But that would be my first hit back in England. Mm-hmm. And it would be followed by about 3 or 4 more very quickly after it. But over here, it's suddenly, whoa,
What was the type of event?
It was just a cabaret type of show, I was taken aback by the fact that they were so taken aback. I don't know if they were taken aback that they suddenly maybe thought I was actually a television and I was talking to them.
Sure,
and
yeah.
Forgot that I was live. That's one of them was looking around for the remote control to change the channel.
That's amazing. What do you think is next? Where do you see the soiree going? Where do you guys see yourselves going in the next couple of years?
Where should we go next?
Where should we go next? Well, we're going to Blackpool.
That's going back to England.
Do you mean career-wise?
I guess, yeah, anything. Yeah.
The thing I think we're concentrating on more than anything else is our theatre show, our double-act theatre show. We really want to establish that. We love working the magic venues, like, you know, the Magic Castle, House of Cards.
You guys just did, like, what, 26 shows last week at the castle?
At the castle.
And the late parlor, too.
New Year in at the Magic Castle. Yeah. It was tremendous.
We had a lot of fun,
But we've had a lot of fun in the little theatres. There's a lot of little theatres in rural America, and they
like
love
Rich Block's
shows.
Little place over in
Delaware, Maryland.
I can't remember where it is. Bethany Bay, over that way. There's loads of little theatres like that, which we really love doing, but also getting out of them and into the small performing arts centres and local theatres that are around. We're getting more of those bookings now, and that's kind of where our career-wise, where we want to
really go. Just gone from strength to strength, and you're bringing in so much new, unique magic that you're creating, which is great fun. I have a lot to learn still.
But it's a solid 90-minute plus show now, if not even longer than that.
Have you been writing more since you've started working together? Has that unlocked some creativity?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely, and it's given me a chance to use stuff. You know, there's when you've got a show, you can actually take 2 minutes in the show to do a bit which hasn't got room in a cabaret, for example.
Yeah.
Because it's a more of a theatrical experience, so you can chop and change and drop bits in. And we're always experimenting with new bits. That's kind of the joy of being able to work together, isn't it?
It is.
And except she doesn't like it when she's on one side of the stage, I'm on the other, and I text her that we're changing something.
Oh, no.
I did that at a convention. And I was like, hold it, I'm about to go on stage.
Literally, we couldn't talk to each other because she was over the other side of the stage. So I was like, don't do that bit, do this bit. And she's going, what?
My phone was not working. Yes, as for the soiree, we will continue to run it as long as we can sell tickets. We fund the whole caboodle and we pay the acts. We sort out the whole thing. So from our point of view, it's how long can we do it? How long can we continue to sell tickets?
The biggest problem, actually, is if our other life gets so busy, because we have to be one night a month in Michigan to run it.
Yeah.
And that'll be the only time I think we'd
stop. But we love travelling. We'd love to do some cruises. We'd love to do... Oh, there's all sorts of things we'd love to do.
Yeah. It's a whole, you know, to rediscovering everything that I did by... Imagine you get to do every job you do with your best friend. That's kind of what it feels like for us at the moment.
Hey, is your best friend here?
He could make it, but you're coming instead.
Thank you, sweetheart. What a joy it is to be with my husband.
It's the cat. It's the cat.
Yeah.
Do you use the dogs in the show?
We do one trick where the reveal is a dog, and then the extra reveal is Rascal coming out.
That's what we need, baby, is a dog.
It makes life very complicated traveling. Domestically, it's easy, but we couldn't do it on cruise ships or anything. I don't want to deal with any of that.
No. It's something we talked about on and off going, we talked about getting a dog, and I quite like to have a dog as well, but if you're going to get a dog, you might as well make it tax deductible.
Exactly.
Is that something you should cut?
Yeah. Use it in the show. Well, no, if it's...
That's a great line.
If it's in the show.
Make it tax deductible.
Yeah.
Oh, but it would...
It's amazing how little that actually goes over the radio.
Yeah, they got it. They understood.
Translates well.
Yeah.
Translates well.
British to English. As we're wrapping up here, any pro tips, any advice you would have for anybody professionally, non-professional? Anything that you kind of go to, things you use?
Something deep and meaningful, Keith. Quick, this is the
Give
moment.
Give me a simple... Like, one of my favorites that Simon, my co-host, came up with is... When you're traveling, you got this from somebody else, and you have your roller bag, and you're sitting in your seat, put it in the overhead that you're looking at, so you can always see your props at all times on the airplane, so nobody takes it from you or moves it without you noticing. Just a simple life hack.
I've got a really good pro tip about that.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh, good. What's that then?
Always ring your mother, whatever the time.
Like as you're taking off?
Is that a mother speaking?
Don't forget to ring your mother.
Is it just because you were expecting a phone call today and you didn't get one?
Maybe. The time difference from LA to London is a lot, but it meant the world. Yeah. Don't forget your mother. Sorry, go on, your pro tip. Go, babe. This is it. This is your big moment.
Always wear a clean shirt.
What?
Well, that's a good one. Yeah. Yeah,
of course you do. For goodness sake!
No, you'd seem it's these are the tips that seem so obvious, and then you meet people who don't use them or don't do them.
If you're listening to this podcast, do not go on stage unless you've got a clean shirt.
I'll tell you probably one of the things I do, which I'm surprised a lot of people don't do. I know a lot of people that turn up at a gig, you know, 15 minutes before they go on, and just they're ready to go on, and I'm sure they do a perfectly good 45-minute cabaret show under those circumstances. But if at all possible, I always like to arrive at the gig before the audience because it is amazing how often there is one thing, one silly thing, which you can actually change at that point, which will take a mediocre show and turn it into a great show.
Yeah.
You remove that one obstacle that gets in the way. I remember turning up, I mean, this is more of a dramatic one. I turned up at a venue, the typical situation with a stage and a dance floor and tables all around. But the DJ had already arrived early, as they do, and he'd set up at the very front of the stage, thus pushing me onto the floor. And there was not a, because of the way the tables were set up, there was not a single place I could stand on the floor where at least half of the audience could see me, because there were pillars in the room and that sort of thing. 5 minutes was spent moving some tables around, and that meant that 95% of the audience could see me from where I would stand on the floor from the obvious place. And it was a case of just moving a few tables, and it created a much better experience for the audience. So I always think, arrive early, have a look at the room, and if there's anything you can fix, don't just go, it's okay, I'll just do it and blame someone else. Fix it. Always do your best possible show.
It's the professional in you.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There must be another tip. Ooh, a girly tip.
Well, I think that always do your best possible show is another
and
big professional tip.
Don't poo-poo the idea of wearing makeup.
For gentlemen.
Yes.
Yeah. I've learned that too from a bunch of male performers. Yeah.
And but more to the point, don't just slap it on. Go and ask a professional to do it. And you can get
some good stuff.
Yeah. And you can do it in Macy's or any of those department stores. Somebody will teach you.
Yeah.
Or
and you can even you can even wear the makeup when you're on stage.
Wow, darling, you are really on the ball today.
These bits are going in the show.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yes. Write this down, folks. This is comedy gold.
We kind of already we touched on this. And I talked to Jason Magic yesterday, and he
his love. Did you do a podcast with Jason Magic?
I did, in his house with his dog.
Believe it, and you didn't invite us. We could have been.
Well, no, I need two. So I need content. So I.
Jason, if you're listening, hello. And if you're not listening, go and see Jason Magic's show at Ginetti's if you ever get a chance.
There you
it's
go.
Brilliant.
Yeah, he's I don't even know if we plugged it yesterday.
Okay.
And I just said content. I hate the phrase content. I need episodes. So this it's better, too. We can get more unique stories this way. But he told the story about, you know, and I remember seeing this at 11 years old in Mount Clemens, him nearly burning alive doing a straitjacket escape. Yeah. Any, like, horror story? I love bad stories from the world because I have a million of them.
I did go upside down on a crane once to do a straitjacket escape. I got up there and it was literally a friend of mine was doing it in the evening and it was like me in the afternoon. It gave me a chance to see what I felt about it. So I used all his rig, went upside down. And I tell you, anyone that hangs upside down on a crane, with or without a straitjacket, as far as I'm concerned, they're a braver man than me. It is the most horrifying experience. You've got this rope around your legs.
Yeah.
And it as it goes up, it starts to tighten. And there's definite movement that happens down there. Every time you move, the thing tightens around your legs. It's kind of self-tightening. It can't come off. But, boy, it feels as if you're slipping. And it just feels at any
you
second.
You were terrified.
And it was the most terrifying experience.
Were you in front of an audience or just
no,
for
no,
fun?
This was no, just a practice.
Sorry, you wanted horror stories. I can't think of any horror stories. There's nothing horrible ever happened apart from missing a cue once.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Nothing that stands out and nothing that you haven't been able to just adjust to in real time.
No, no. I remember working in a comedy store in Leicester Square and have someone throw up over my shoes in the front row.
In the front row.
It's quite a horror story.
Because of a joke or did they
no,
feeling
no,
well?
Just because he'd been drinking too much and it was a late night show, 1 o'clock in the morning sort of thing. And literally I walked on stage and this guy, and I just stood there and this guy just upchucked over the shoes over the front of the stage. And I think it gave me about 5 minutes of material to be quite honest.
I was going to say, there's so much to work with here.
Someone ran around and was clearing it up. It's just you're standing on stage and you've got that going. And it's kind of quite amusing. But that's the thing about on stage. You have to learn to just deal with stuff. And I find the more you just talk about it and, you know, you find something funny if you keep digging,
It's a, if anything, that's such a gift. Yeah. I mean, if you don't call that out, if you don't use that, then the audience is going to be...
Like all good magicians, I got a couple of good laughs, and I was thinking, how can I engineer this so it happens every show?
Just hire somebody to... Okay, here's some oatmeal, just hold it in your mouth for a while.
Oh, no!
Or just buy the front table, 15 pints of lager.
Oh, yeah. It's probably about the same price as paying somebody. No matter what, they're going to have a good show. This is great, guys. Thank you so much for doing this. And where can they go if people want to get tickets for the Magic Soiree and find out all the upcoming dates?
TheMagicSoiree.com.
Well, that's good. You get the .com on that.
We got
that's
the nice. .com.
Or you can go look at abritofmagic.net and see our theatre shows.
Yeah. Yeah.
Someone has the .com of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone has the .com of my name, too.
Yeah.
It's really annoying. Yeah. They never update it, right?
No.
Yeah.
They just own it. Yeah. No. Mine's a guy, I was living in Chicago for many years, and mine, nickpaul.com, was some artist that was literally three blocks from me in Chicago, and I just wanted to go over and knock on his door and go, buddy, can I have it, please?
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Well, thank you so much for doing this, guys.
It's fun.
Thank you.
Look forward to our paths crossing again.
I'm sure. Hopefully, eventually soon.
Thanks so much for listening to the show. Please give us 5 stars on Apple Podcast. If you really like the show, you can donate a few bucks a month on our website, twomagiciansonemike.com, or become a monthly subscriber through our Patreon link. Thanks to all the people that support the show and keep it up and running. Be sure to follow us on the interwebs at @twomagiciansonemike. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great week.